Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got a great show today. Coming up later on this hour, we're going to be looking back a quarter century to 1995 at a natural disaster that was abetted by failures of community and government and ended up killing hundreds of Illinoisans. That's the Chicago heat wave of 1995, 25 years ago this week. We'll look back on that later on the program today. But first, the U.S. relies on more than 2 million seasonal workers to help cultivate and harvest crops. And this year, the arrival of many seasonal workers in Illinois has coincided with a pandemic. Many of the workers lack health insurance, they work long hours in difficult conditions, and live in communal-style housing that can make them more vulnerable to COVID-19. A report from the National Center for Farm Worker Health found that more than 3,000 seasonal workers have tested positive for COVID-19. Christine Herman recently reported on what Illinois is doing to ramp up testing for migrant workers this season. She's a health reporter for WILL's Illinois Newsroom and Side Effects Public Media. Christine, welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you, Brian. It's good to be here.
Also joining us are Elise Sawyers, CEO of Community Health Partnerships of Illinois, and the organization's Director of Operations, Gina Ramirez. Community Health Partnerships is a federally funded clinic with several sites around Illinois. It provides primary care to migrant workers. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And a reminder to our listeners, you can always join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. The number again is 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Gina, I want to begin with you. What type of work do migrant workers in Illinois primarily do, and when do they come here to do that work?
Well, it varies greatly. So there's all kinds of work from growing vegetables and nursery operations to seed companies hiring for the detasseling that's needed. And that is the biggest influx in the central part of the state. But there is a lot of variety, and they come as early as March and can be here as late as October.
Interesting. So detasseling, that's corn, working on corn fields, which is obviously a big part of the agricultural climate here in central Illinois. Christine, what is that work like, and where are people typically traveling from to do this work here?
Yeah, the director of the clinic, the Community Health Partnership Clinic down here in Champaign County, Maricel Mendoza, she explained kind of what the work is like. She actually grew up in a migrant family and spent a few years herself in the summers as a teenager working out in the fields. I mean, she said it's long days, it's out in the heat. The process of detasseling, for those who aren't familiar, it's yanking the pollen producing top portion of the plants off, and it allows the different corn varieties growing in the fields to crossbreed with each other. To create hybrid seed corns. There are a couple different large seed companies that hire contractors who hire the workers. And as Gina mentioned, there's a big influx, usually early July through mid-August for detasseling, and then also again come harvest time.
So when it comes to COVID-19 with this group of workers, what are we seeing in other parts of the country first?
Yeah, so I spoke with Sylvia Partida, who is the CEO of the National Center for Farm Worker Health. So her organization is based in Texas. It supports more than 170 clinics like the Community Health Partnership of Illinois, clinics that provide basic primary care services to migrant workers. She says nationwide, no one is systematically tracking COVID-19 cases among farm workers. But what they've been able to do is compile information based on news reports as well as from other partner organizations. And so far, they've got a tally going right now of more than 3,000 known COVID-19 cases among migrant farm workers in about 15 states, including several in the Midwest. So when I asked her what's behind this problem and what it would take to change it, to make it better, here's what she said.
It's about our system of agriculture and how we have expected over the years for us to have very cheap produce. And the only way we do that is through cheap labor. And so we have, as consumers, allowed that to happen over many, many years. And so now we're in a situation where we don't want interruptions in our food supply. And so that means we're sacrificing individuals that are doing that work. And how do we protect them?
Yeah. So Brian, you know, that was Sylvia Partita with the National Center for Farm Worker Health, you know, and she says these migrant clinics, they're especially critical right now. They serve about 1 million patients a year, according to data from federal data from 2018, about 70% of their patients live below the federal poverty line, more than a third lack health insurance, and the vast majority are Hispanic or Latino populations who we know have been disproportionately hurt by COVID-19. And that's why she says the work that, you know, Community Health Partnership and other clinics like it, what they're doing is so important, especially now.
Okay, so that's kind of the national picture here. Gina, I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about Illinois, and maybe we can start by saying, asking how many migrant workers typically Absolutely. Come to Illinois for this kind of seasonal work?
Right. So the influx, the height of the season, we probably have about 2,000 to 3,000 workers coming into the state from outside. There are seasonal workers who live in the state year round. CHP serves over 7,000 of those workers and their family members annually. And there are other health centers in the state that are also serving this population. But we do serve the north and central part of the state.
And yeah, obviously, as we said, the work is hard, detasseling corn, doing other things out in the fields all day. But the living conditions for a lot of migrant workers can be difficult as well. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So obviously, when they're coming in from the outside, the housing is provided. That's part of the contract when they're given the job. So we actually are proactive at CHP. We work with the folks who are bringing the workers into the state so that we can find out where they're going to be housing them. And we can go in and give them guidance, especially around COVID. Also, you know, how to stay safe in that environment. So you and I, we all have our personal homes. We go home, we feel safe there, and then we protect ourselves when we go out. In these scenarios, we just need to take that another step further. And we know knowledge is power. So we have an extensive team of health educators who are actually part of the population, the migrant population, who are peer health educators, along with our providers and our healthcare teams, of course, who are also providing that information and education around COVID and other topics as they come up.
Elise Sawyers, I want to bring you into the conversation, CEO of Community Health Partnership of Illinois. What are some, so we heard about living conditions, working conditions. What are some of the other factors that might make migrant worker populations more vulnerable to COVID-19?
No, thank you so very much for the question and the opportunity to share our story. So like Gina mentioned, education is power. So one of our roles is not only to provide resource in terms of primary medical, dental and behavioral health services. So referral for tertiary care, for specialty care. And in light of COVID-19, making sure migrant agricultural seasonal workers know what to be done in terms of resource, educated on how to cope during and around COVID-19. So access to healthcare, education as it relates to how to safeguard oneself, family, as it relates to COVID-19. So those are some of the challenges that all population face. As you know, we serve the underserved and the uninsured. And so we also make sure the resource in terms of primary health care, no barriers to care, making sure all population, if they can't afford care, we are there offering services without the stress of not having the financial means to access care.
I gather maybe it goes without saying, but this is not the sort of job that typically comes with health insurance, even in the best of times, right? When we're not in the middle of a global pandemic.
That's a great observation. That is correct. And so funded by the federal government to make sure this access to healthcare is not a barrier for this population.
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about seasonal farm workers, migrant workers in Illinois in particular, also across the country, who are particularly vulnerable to COVID-19. We're speaking with Elise Sawyers, who's the CEO of Community Health Partnership of Illinois, as well as Gina Ramirez, Director of Operations there, and Christine Herman, a health reporter for Illinois Public Media, WILL, and Side Effects Public Media. Gina, the state Department of Public Health regulates and inspects living conditions for migrant workers. Has the state imposed any other changes related to COVID-19 in order to keep workers safe?
They have issued a specific guidance, definitely, and you can find that on their website. And we are also referenced there for folks to call us with health questions. But basically, the guidance is the same thing we're all following: social distancing, washing our hands, covering our mouths, not touching our faces, and wearing facial coverings? I'm sorry for the repetition. So a lot of the same precautions that we're all taking apply here. And what the Department of Labor has worked with the Illinois Department of Public Health to do is to combine all of our efforts and make sure that we're having clear guidance and making sure everyone knows who to reach out to for questions so that we can keep everyone as safe as possible.
And Christine, obviously government rules only go so far. What are the companies that actually employ these workers? What do you know about what they are doing to address these concerns?
Yeah, so I reached out to two of the larger seed companies that employ contractors who hire farm workers that come to Illinois. You know, both Bayer, which bought out Monsanto, and Corteva, which bought Pioneer, they've both said that they've lowered the occupancy per room in the housing and that they're requiring changes to travel habits. So, you know, the workers travel on buses to and from field sites. So Bayer says they're trying to keep small groups of people consistently together so that if there is a case with COVID-19, they can better do contact tracing and isolate those who need to be isolated. You know, the companies say they're providing workers with masks and giving them training on all of the social distancing and the guidelines that Gina mentioned that the state has put forward. And, you know, doing things like daily symptom and temperature checks, also providing nurses on site. Bayer says they're providing paid sick leave for those who need to isolate or quarantine. Corteva didn't really answer that question directly in my email, but I get a sense that paid sick leave is maybe an exception more than a rule for these workers. And, you know, so then there's concerns that there might be some disincentivizing you know, for if workers come and they have to isolate for 2 weeks, but they're only here for 6 weeks, if that cuts into their pay, you know, that's obviously a concern. So there's still, you know, some questions I have about that I'll kind of be paying attention to as this plays out throughout the season.
And Elise, your organization, as I understand it, is setting up COVID-19 testing sites to test migrant workers. Do we know how many migrant workers in Illinois have been tested and if there have been any outbreaks in that population?
Well, thank you again for the question. So one of our six sites is an active testing site. In addition to that, we go out and do outreach testing as well. We've tested over 700 patients to date with a low 5% positive rate. So we continue to test. One of the great things that we did was to collaborate with the state on testing. So all of our testing kits are provided by the state, and we also use a state lab to do all of our lab result reporting. We are interested right now to make sure all of our sites go live. And so we're securing opportunities with other partners and collaborating across Northern and Central Illinois to make sure we test or have testing opportunities at all locations. But we're a smaller testing site. Again, one of six of our locations is actively testing. And so we want to go live soon with all other five locations.
Interesting. And Christine, before, we've only got a couple minutes left, but in our pre-show discussion here, we were talking, you mentioned an interesting fact that Latino populations are overrepresented in COVID-19 cases, particularly in Central Illinois. And I wonder, what can you share what you learned about why that might be the case? And again, we have about a minute left.
Yeah, so this is a really big, important question, obviously, about health disparities in COVID-19. We've seen it with the Black population as well as with the Latino population. In Champaign County, for example, we're 6% Latino here, but at one point, nearly half of all the COVID-19 cases were among Hispanic or Latino people. Now it's just under 40%. You know, I've spoken with people about, you know, why this might be the case. And, you know, many like people who provide services to agricultural workers, which would include field workers, as well as workers at meat plants and food processing plants. You know, they say more broadly, this kind of statistic can contribute to a stigma against Latino people in these predominantly white rural areas. But they say that's unfair because Latino people are doing these essential jobs. They're helping, you know, because they're out there working, and that makes them vulnerable, but that work is keeping our nation's food supply stable. And, you know, that's why, you know, there could be other barriers with access to healthcare, you know, as both Elise and Gina have kind of hinted at. But many of them don't have the option of working from home. And that's why, you know, Sylvia Partida, who I spoke with from the National Center for Farm Worker Health, she says, you know, as a society, we really need to be asking, what are we doing to keep these workers safe? And so far, she says, there hasn't been a coordinated federal response. It's been pretty piecemeal in terms of what states and different counties are doing.
Well, that is a question we will continue asking here on the 21st. Thank you so much to Christine Herman with Illinois Newsroom and Side Effects Public Media, as well as two voices from the Community Health Partnership of Illinois, Elise Sawyers, the CEO there, and Gina Ramirez, Director of Operations. Thank you all for being with us here on the 21st. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.